the feast of the church do not arise out of a vacuum. They are established because there appears at the time to be an occasion or a circumstance that demands drawing attention to a particular truth of our faith. The feast of Christ the King is rather new by church standards. It was established in 1925. It was that uneasy period between the end of the First World War and the beginning of the Second World War. In 1925, there were massive strikes throughout Europe. There was a tremendous disruption of work. In 1925, the Japanese Empire began to move beyond its borders and to establish a posture of colonization and expansion into the Pacific region. In the Western world, it was the time of the Roaring Twenties. But mostly it was the time of great economic instability. The world economy teetered on the edge. On January the 3rd of 1925, Mussolini established himself as dictator of Italy. And in July of that year, Adolf Hitler published Mein Kampf, which was to be the roadmap or the plan that would underscore the genocide which he intended. Stalin had died in that year and, Lenin had died in that year, and Stalin succeeded in the Soviet Union and began in that year purges of his enemies. And that practice would continue for the next generation. And literally millions and millions of people would lose their lives. That was the world in 1925. What Pius XI saw was that there was some need to call men and women to some very basic appreciation of truth, and hopefully to a way in which this world, tattered and torn as it was, could be held together. And so he established the feast of Christ the King. It is the feast by which we acknowledge that all that is finds its meaning in Jesus Christ, and that the cross of Christ stands at the very center of human history. And in the cross of Christ, everything is reconciled to God. In the cross of Christ, you and I become children of the living God, and we become sisters and brothers to each other. It is in the cross of Christ that the hope of the human family rests. And embracing that cross, men and women have the opportunity to establish a right relationship with each other and with God, and so draw together all what appear as disparate aspects of the created universe. Almost 25 years ago, Eric and Antoinette Rossi and Bill and Marion Wolfe, longtime members of this congregation, all four of them have since died. 25 years ago, they made a gift to us. They had the crucifix that hangs in the sanctuary created. They commissioned it for this parish. And what they insisted from the artist was two things. Number one, the cross must be a sign of hope, a sign of glory, and not an instrument of death. And number two, the image of Christ must be an image of Christ drawing all things to himself, of Christ being the reconciler of all creation, an image of Christ reaching out and grasping the universe, an image of the restoration of all things in God. And that is precisely what is behind this feast. Now, 2007 is no better off than 1925. Our world is in a very precarious position. And just as in 1925, the cross of Jesus Christ and the mystery of God reconciling everything in Jesus Christ was the hope for a world, that is no less true today. Now, the mystery of the cross of Christ and the reconciling power of God operates in our lives. When you and I become ever more conformed to the cross of Christ, that sign of hope and promise, that saving sign for all creation, and when we act out of that, when we act toward God and toward each other in that fashion, then there is a witness and a hope for a world that is deeply divided, a world that is in tatters. The Razzies and the Wolves recognize that the cross of Christ is a sign of our hope. And I would hope that each of us, every time we come into this church, every time we look at that crucifix, might see in the wood of the cross a sign of hope, and might see in the image of Jesus an outward reach to gather all to himself. And so might see in our lives as disciples of the Lord that we too must be instruments of hope for a world. And Jesus doesn't have any arms other than your arms and my arms with which to gather men and women in unity. We turn to the Lord God in faith and we pray.
That all public officials may see themselves as accountable to the King of the universe and to his people, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all may repent like the criminal in the gospel, and so may not be excluded from the Lord's kingdom, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
On the pages of Luke's gospel in this year of grace, we met the little and the lowly, the outcasts and the sinners. May they find a place of honor at our table. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That Christ our King may welcome into paradise all our brothers and sisters. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick, especially Shirley Casillas, Vicky Mars, Nick Baker, Scott Murphy and Char Brady. That the Lord might grant them healing, we pray to the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may all